In my understanding, what I'm about to do is the closest picture, apart from the cross, that you can get of who God is and what God is like. Okay? So what I'm about to do with this jug of water...
No!
Just kidding. ...is the closest that we see as the heart of God. This, brothers and sisters, is what God is like. He did, but that's not why I'm doing this. This is... This is the heart of God. The question is, why? If I asked you, who is the most powerful person in the world today, you would probably respond, Trump, Putin, Merkel, May, any of these leaders. And this would be what most people think. From when we are young, we are told that having power means being able to tell other people what to do. Parents tell you what to do. Look at your parents if you're sitting with your parents. They're there to tell you what to do, aren't they? Teachers tell you what to do. Your employers, all right, you can stop it now. Your employers tell you what to do. No, they don't. Strong governments, strong leaders are seen as those leaders and governments that can tell other people what to do and put themselves first. And we grow up thinking that we should be like that. We should come out on top. We should be first. We should be recognized. We should be strongest, because that is what real power looks like. And a lot of people think that is what God looks like. That is what God's power should look like. He is so powerful that he can do whatever he wants. He can tell people to do whatever he wants. That's what his sovereignty means. That's what his being all-powerful means. God's ability to do exactly what he wants and get people to do exactly what he wants. And that is partly true.
He tries to put things right, but things go wrong.
Exactly. If God wanted, he could make every one of us obey him. But if God is like that, then that raises a couple of questions, doesn't it? If God is all powerful like that, then why doesn't he just step in and sort everything out?
Because he's only one God.
Indeed.
He's only one God, that
high. And the second question is, if God is all powerful like that, then how come I can still choose not to obey him? How come there's still aspects of my life where I don't do what he wants? If that is what God's power means. Because God's power is the opposite of what we expect. We expect God's power means his ability to coerce and control and manipulate. But God doesn't control you, does he? He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't coerce you. He doesn't force you even to believe in him. Instead, God's power is service. God serves you. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And if you want to know what God is like, you look at what Jesus is like. And this is the weirdest thing for us to get our heads around, because we're taught that power means the opposite. But this is also the most wonderful, beautiful truth about the kind, generous, loving, servant-hearted, humble heart of God. And this little section of Philippians where Paul says Jesus, although he had equality with God, became nothing. And the word is, he became a slave. He didn't just become a servant who's, you know, paid, or a butler. He became like a slave. And he became obedient, even to death. Wow. What we find is God's power doesn't look like our power at all. In fact, God's power looks the opposite. Now, this is where we learn a very clever word. But this word, we're not learning this word to sound clever. We're learning this word because it describes who God is. And this word is kenosis. Can you say kenosis? Kenosis is utter self-emptying. God is a God who empties himself. He gives and he gives and he gives and he never, ever stops giving. He could have been the most important God, the most significant figure in the universe. When Jesus came, he could have been the ultimate someone. But he became nothing. Because he is a God who gives himself away. He could have made everyone obey him. But instead, he became a slave to us all. A God of kenosis. Emptying himself. That is his only power. He could have declared to the Jews and the Romans and all of us, I am the one to whom you must bow the knee. But he humbled himself. He could have made us all obey him, but he is the one who became obedient. This is true power. The power of emptying yourself, not to beat yourself up or deny the good in you, but to give yourself away out of sheer love again and again and again. Never, ever stops emptying himself. The point of being a Christian is not to be a good person. It's not to follow rules. It's not to get a ticket into heaven. The point of being a Christian is to fall in love with God. And I love God not because of his power to do, make me do what he wants, but precisely the opposite reason. I love him because he's a God of humility and a God of weakness and a God who will pour himself out for me again and again. It's the only kind of God that we could really love. Because a God who controls you, you can only submit to and fear. I don't love God because he controls everything. I love God because his power is the only power that can overcome evil. The servant king. Shall we stand and sing together? To us this. He said, have the same mindset as Jesus who became a slave. So the way I think and the way you think has to be like Jesus who became a slave. Now, Muhammad Ali was once on a plane. He was flying to one of his engagements. And during the flight, the aircraft ran into foul weather and it started to get into turbulence. Has anyone ever been in turbulence? Whew, sweaty palms. It's very frightening. And the passengers were therefore instructed to fasten their seatbelts immediately. Everyone did it apart from Muhammad Ali. And noticing this, the steward approached him and requested that he observe the captain's order. Sir, please, would you fasten your seatbelt? To which Muhammad Ali responded, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the steward did not miss a beat, leaned over, put the seatbelt on him and said, "Superman don't need no plane either." It's good, isn't it? The world teaches us one version of power. Be Superman, be Superwoman. And it can be really hard to kick that. When someone attacks you, your instinct is to attack them first. When you're climbing your career ladder, your instinct is to get out on top. When someone does something you don't like, your instinct is to do it back to them. It can be really hard for us. Unless we look to the cross and fall in love with the God whose power is made perfect in weakness. Because as we do that, we realize that the only power that's going to change anything in our lives or anyone else's lives is if we start to be those who live by kenosis. If we start to empty ourselves. In Vienna, there's a church where the royal family, the Habsburg, are buried. And when there are funerals of a royal family member, they arrive at the church doors are closed. And the mourners are all outside with the coffin, they're trying to get in. And they knock on the door. And the priest who's standing inside, this is the actual church that this happens. The priest who's actually standing inside says, "Who is it at the door?" And the mourners, first of all, they will say, "His Apostolic Majesty, the Emperor." And the priest will say, "Don't know him." And they'll knock again. And the priest will say, "Who is it who's at the door?" And the mourners will say, "The highest emperor? Don't know him." And they'll knock a third time, and the priest will say, "Who is it at the door?" And on the third time, the mourners say, "A poor sinner, your brother." And the doors are opened. Appetite, if you live by appetite, it says this, be sensuous and enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful. Expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied and please yourself. Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Pride says, be superior and promote yourself. But Jesus says, be wise. Humble yourself. Because what do all these people that we mentioned at the beginning have in common? They are saints who've gone before us who have emptied themselves for the sake of their Lord. And that is why they inspire us. They changed the world because they had the guts to empty themselves. I came across a litany, a prayer, the other day that expresses the heart of a humble person. And it says this, and I'm going to ask at the end of the service that we share in these words if you feel you're able to. But I was... Rock and roll. That's Noah, everyone. Shall we give him a round of applause? See, I don't mind people taking the attention off me. It's fine. Kenosis. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. May I empty myself so that others may be loved more. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That's really hard to pray. but it's the heart of the one who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a slave. And do you know what? It's the only power that will heal the world. When someone insults you, kenosis. When someone is preferred more than you, kenosis. When someone is taking your time and energy, kenosis. When someone interrupts your sermon, kenosis. Because that is the power of Jesus, and that's why I love him. There's no one like him. We are called to be a family of servants on mission. All those three things are all about kenosis. We're called to be family with people we don't choose. You need to empty yourself if we're going to do that. We're called to be servants. Well, by definition, we empty ourselves. And we're called to follow the mission of God. To put aside our own desires sometimes, to fulfill his calling. Kenosis. So to finish with, how do you know if your heart is moving in that direction? Can I suggest these two questions to reflect on? In your life, do you remain teachable? Are you able to take correction? Are you keen to still grow? Are you up for learning? Because that will mean that you know that you haven't got it all sorted yet and that you're still needing to grow and develop. Do you remain teachable? And the second question is, can you pass on praise to God? It's good to be praised and encouraged. We should all do that for each other all the time. But our instinct, if we're those who are emptying ourselves, is to say, thank you very much. And thank you, Lord, for putting me in that place. This next song speaks of the power and the humility that we see in Jesus, the lion and the lamb. It might not be familiar to everybody, but just join in as you can. Make it your prayer of thanksgiving, but also praying for that spirit of giving ourselves away as we sing. So let's stand to sing together.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before.
Lord, we thank You that You are the Lion who fights for us and the Lamb who becomes nothing and is slain for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to sit, and Ruth is going to come and help us to pray.